All right, welcome to the Fit Vegan Podcast. I'm your show host, Maxim Seguin, and I'm the founder and CEO of Fit Vegan Coaching, a company that is on a mission to help 10,000 people get lean, thrive, and reduce their risk of chronic illnesses by 2033 and a million by 2050. I believe that having a fit, healthy body and mind is the foundation to living an incredible life, and this is what the show will give you if you choose to listen and implement. Enjoy the episode and have a great day. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fit Vegan Podcast. We are riding solo today. I'm going to be sharing with you five lessons that I've learned after being a caregiver for 4.5 years to my late partner, who's battling breast cancer and unfortunately passed away. This is a highly requested episode. I mentioned it in our Fit Vegan Weekly newsletter, and we got a lot of responses from you guys. And so I thought I would honor my word and record this episode. So the first lesson, and again, some of them may sound cheesy, but I have stories behind them so you can get a better understanding of why I'm sharing these things. So the first one is to fill your cup. I honestly never understood what that meant. The whole time I was a caregiver, people were like, hey, just make sure you're taking care of yourself. I'm like, I can't take care of myself. I have to make sure that I take care of my partner. She's the one that's sick. And so I neglected myself, not necessarily from a fitness standpoint, because I always worked out consistently during that time. That was one of my way to kind of manage my stress, but I neglected myself from an emotional and psychological standpoint. I didn't have anyone to kind of talk to share the stressful things that I was going through, or to kind of offload some of the things that were on my chest, because I personally, I obviously had some friends that I had my parents. But the thing that I found challenging is that, they loved me very much. And so every time I shared with them how hard it was to be a caregiver, they just wanted to try to make me feel better. And that's not what I wanted. I just wanted to talk. I just wanted to vent. And I can see that it was affecting the people that I love, especially my parents. It was affecting them emotionally and psychologically to see their son go through this. And I just couldn't deal with, now I had to deal with their emotions, or my friends, I had to deal with their emotions when I would share things with them. So it just added more workload to my plate. And when I realized that I was just like, man, I have to take care of Jen from a physical, emotional, and psychological standpoint. I'm trying to offload and kind of just like share openly with the people that I love, but it's affecting them emotionally. Now I have to take care of them. It became a little bit too much for me. So I kind of closed off. I closed off, I turned off, I just kept my emotions to myself, I kept the stress to myself, I didn't really kind of share it with anyone, because it was also not a situation that a lot of the people around me had experienced for themselves. And what that led to is a slow depletion of my cup, right? Even though I was working out, even though I was eating healthy, right? I was kind of my phase of doing a ton of triathlon and Ironmans, because that was my way of dealing with stress, right? I didn't drink, I didn't do drugs, but man, I would bike for 4 hours. I would swim for 2 hours, because it was linear and I didn't have to think. And by not sharing these things, it just slowly started to burn me out. I started to become a little bit resentful, angry, stressed, anxious, depressed, all the words that you do not want to have. And ultimately, I kept pouring and pouring and pouring into my late partner, because she needed it. She was the one that was sick. And when she passed away, I didn't realize how empty my cup was. It felt like my cup was bone dry and it was barely holding together. And then when she passed away, it just fell into pieces. It was so dry. I had emptied myself so much that I cracked my cup and it fell into pieces. I didn't even have a container to pour into anymore. I never thought that I would experience that. I never understood what it was like to operate on an empty cup. I felt what it was like to have somewhat of an empty cup, but man, that cup held on to the last minute. And fun story, a lot of things, not fun story, but a lot of things held off to the last minute. I bought a car, because I mentioned I got laid off from my corporate job, early COVID, and I was using the company car to drive Jen to some cancer treatments. And I bought another car, and I didn't have a lot of money. And so I bought a cheap car that would do the job. And man, that car had problems after problems. And then when she passed away, the day that we were driving back from the funeral, pretty much the day we came back from the funeral, that car just died on the highway, like smokes, and it just died. It held off the last minute. And so it was funny how kind of God made me hold everything together until it couldn't anymore. But going back to the cup, that cup was empty and it was cracked and I couldn't even pour into it. And it took me a long time to figure out what needed to happen for me to kind of start to put the broken pieces together so that I could have a cup that I could pour into. A lot of people told me like, hey, just, you know, go spend time by yourself, go get a massage, go do go travel, do all of these things. And here's the things that I've learned that have helped me fill my cup. One of them is, yes, exercise. I think that was a big thing that allowed me to kind of hold the cup together as long as I did before it completely fell apart. The second thing is for me to do fun things that were fun for me, because a lot of people's recommendation was to do fun things that are societally accepted as fun things. And then for me, it was just like, man, I want to go play basketball. I want to go bungee jumping, right? I want to go do all the things that make me excited. And so I had to detach myself from the idea that I should do these stereotypical things that should make me feel good, that should fill up my cup, and just go do shit that I enjoyed. That really helped. And a third one, to be honest with you, and this one is not something that you actually have to do. It's actually something you have to do nothing. It was just to let time elapse. I needed to let time elapse. I needed to deal with the grief. I needed to deal with the trauma that came from that experience. I needed to just like let time elapse and to allow things in my life to not be as stressful and to not take on as many projects on my plate. That was the biggest thing that helped me to put my cup back together. Time. And as a type A overachiever, I am not the most patient person. I'm the type of guy that would put glue in a heat gun to try to, you know, make it dry a lot faster. But ultimately, time was the best thing. I had a good friend of mine when I moved to Tulum in Mexico. He shared a song with me. I don't know who the author is. It's on my playlist on Spotify. But the song title is "You Can't Rush Your Healing." And I listened to that song over and over and over again. And so for those of you that are a caregiver, that are starting to feel your cup to be empty, I understand how unrealistic it is for me to tell you to go do fun things for yourself. Because if you're in the position that I was in, you feel guilty. It's making me emotional. You feel guilty to go do things for yourself because there's someone that you care about that is suffering. And you don't feel that that's fair. And, damn, I didn't think I would cry recording this. Yeah, there's a lot of guilt that come from wanting to do things to fill your cup. So, man, people told me all the time, go do things for yourself. And I just couldn't do it, to be honest with you. So I'm not the perfect example to tell you what to do. If I were to do all over again and I knew that my cup would crack at the end, man, honestly, I wouldn't be able to do it differently. I think I would have felt too guilty to do things for myself while she was sick. And I'm happy that I didn't. I'm happy that I didn't do those things. And so that piece of advice of filling your cup, honestly, you probably won't do it while you're caring for someone that you love. But at least, again, the thing that I think for me made me held on for so long is I ate healthy food and I exercise, right? I didn't do a bunch of like crazy fun things or crazy trips or all the hang out with friends. I didn't do any of that stuff because that felt selfish. But man, working out and eating healthy food is really the thing that helped me to like keep that cup together until it couldn't anymore. And so once it can't anymore, ultimately, I believe that the body will hold off until it has to hold off. And then when things kind of crumble down, either the person that you care for heals or passes away, then it's just about letting time heal you. And I know it's not a sexy answer because you can't do anything about it besides just letting time elapse. But if you are a caregiver right now, at least move your body 3 times per week and eat healthy food. Take care of yourself in that way, because it'll allow you to serve the people that you love better. And it will at least hold that cup together as long as you need to. Second lesson is, I shared this earlier, that I didn't have that support. It's like, have support from someone that is not involved in your situation. So to me, it took me about a good 3.5 years to 4 years before I went to go seek help from a therapist, because I thought it was weak to have a therapist, right? I was like, nah, I'm a guy. I should be able to handle this situation, right? But not being able to share fully with the people that I love, because I knew that it would affect them emotionally, just made me want to not share anything with anyone. And there was a point where I just couldn't hold it in anymore. I was impatient, so anxious, so depressed. I was like, yeah, I feel like I need help now. And I went to go see this therapist, and I just like let it all out, because I knew that this person, was not emotionally involved in my situation. I was paying them to kind of sit there and listen. And it sounds so weird to say it that way, but I'm so happy that this person was not involved emotionally into my situation, because I felt comfortable just sharing everything, all the aspects of it. And it just felt like a huge weight was lifted off of my shoulder every single time. And so having that person that was not emotionally involved in the situation was a game changer for me. So not being afraid to ask for help if you don't feel that you have anyone to share with, because I get it. Like, we want to be there for our friends, but we care so much for them that it does, or our family, but we care so much that it affects us, and they know that it's affecting us. And that makes them feel bad. And so for me, I just had to go ask for help. So that's lesson number 2 that I wish I would have done from the start. Third one, I actually had this lesson tattooed on me. It is right beside my left. It's on my left wrist beside my watch. So every time I look at my watch, I see the lesson, which is make time count. It's a lesson that I learned after my late partner, Jen, passed away. People always said life is short. And for me, it didn't really feel like the case. It just felt like I could have had so many more opportunities to make time count. There were so many nights where we were just sitting beside each other, scrolling on our phones or being on Netflix and watching TV and doing nothing and distracting ourselves, that I wish I would have taken more of those opportunities to have conversations, to go for walks outside, to just sit and talk. And so that was a big lesson for me, is life is the duration that it is. Even if someone passes in their older years, people would still say that life is short, but man, I just want to try to make every moment count as much as I can. And that's why when I look at my time, I can see that. Then I'm like, okay, I'm with my wife, Ivy, right now. Let me just be present with this moment and make it count, because this might be one of those moments that I remember later on in my life. And so that's the third lesson, is to make time count with the people that you love. Put your darn phone down, shut off Netflix. Go talk to your husband, go talk to your wife, go talk to your kids, call your friend, call your aunt, call your uncle, and just make that time count with them. Fourth lesson, this one again came during and after me being a caregiver, and it was that this too shall pass. This came from one of my really good friends. And it, you know, it's something that you hear over and over again, and it doesn't click until you're ready to like hear it fully. And it was, good times are going to pass, bad times are going to pass. So actually enjoy every single moment that you have, because these hard moments are there to make you appreciate the great moments. And these great moments, in a weird way, are there to make you appreciate the bad moments. Nothing lasts forever. And so just keep showing up with the full extent of your love and to your full self. And just know that this bad time will pass, and this good time will pass. Make the most out of it. That really helped me tremendously during the time during being a caregiver and after she passed. So just wanted to pass that off to you. And the fifth thing, this is a big one that has helped me, but kind of related to the first one, but it's to have faith that it will all work out. To me, there was never an ounce of thought that Jen wouldn't make it through her cancer diagnosis. It was always like the thing that kept me going is like, I know this will end at one point and I know she's going to heal. And ultimately the thought of, and I know this will end at one point, either with death or not death, is still the thing that allowed me to go through those really hard periods. Because think about being in a relationship with someone and being the full-time caregiver and the financial provider and the emotional support, the psychological support, the rushing to the emergencies and the treatments and all of these things, coordinating all of those things, those therapies. It was challenging, but knowing that nothing lasts forever and there's genuinely never an ounce of doubt in my head that she wouldn't heal. Like, I knew she would heal at one point. It only occurred to me that she could pass away once she actually passed away and I was in the hospital with her. Before that, it was like, yeah, she's a warrior. She'll be fine. She'll make it out. And like being in that hospital, she had three heart attacks. Like, her heart stopped beating three times. The first time I was talking to her, holding her hand, and her eyes went backwards. And that freaked me out. And then they brought her back, but she was unconscious. And then it happened a second time. And then they brought her back again. And then the doctor basically came to me. He's like, hey, you have a big decisions to make, because if she goes out again, she'll have lacked a lot of oxygen to her brain. And she may not be the same if she comes back. Right. Basically, he was trying to say that she'd be a vegetable, right? Not to be rude, but basically what he was trying to say. And I was like, so you have to make a decision. Do we bring her back or do we just let her go? Man, what a decision to put on a freaking, you know, someone in their 20s. And I had Jen's sister with me. I was like, man, like, that's a hard decision. And I was like, man, who am I to deprive someone of life? And I know there's a big debate on this, but to me it was like, man, she fought all the way until the end. Like, there's no way that I'm gonna make the final decision on this. I'm like, if she does go back and does come back to life, however she is, I will take care of her. I was like, if I have to carry her around in a wheelchair, I will do that. Like, it is, I will not cancel a fight that she fought so hard for. And, you know, some people might have different opinion on it. I truly don't care, because no one knows until they're in that position what they would actually do. But yeah, she ended up, her heart ended up stopping a third time and she didn't come back from that one. But yeah, just have faith that it will all work out. Live as if, enjoy every single moment with the people that you love, if you are a caregiver. And don't think about it until you actually get there. Because if not, it just causes a lot of stress and anxiety and potentially depression for a future scenario that hasn't happened, right? Right now, this person that you love, that you're caring for, is alive. Live as if that's the truth, because it is. Whatever scenario you're making up in your head has not happened. Don't worry about it. Deal with it once it gets there. And so those are my five lessons for you that I've learned as being a caregiver. Obviously, there's a lot more. I could talk about this for, man, at least 2 hours. But I just wanted to keep it concise. Hopefully, this resonates for some of you that are caregivers. Actually, you know what? I'm going to throw one last one in, because I made a video on Instagram about it. And it's my most viewed video. I think it's like almost like 90,000 downloads on it. And it was that's more for people to kind of for their health, but whatever you think is worth it is not worth it. like all the people that say like, oh, well, you know, just a glass of wine here and there, or like, oh, but what about bacon or burgers or pizza? Like, you still need to enjoy life a little bit. Like, man, once you get sick and you lose your health, you don't care about all of that. You would give all the money. You live in a cardboard box just to have a baseline of health. Yeah, screw the car, the money, the status, the business, everything. You would live in a cardboard box with one t-shirt, one pair of shorts, just to be able to have a baseline of health. So just a little extra, you know, lesson in there for you. But yeah, I hope this resonates with some of you. If you know someone that is a caregiver or that is new to being a caregiver, I invite you to share this podcast episode with them, because I wish someone shared this stuff with me when I was 20, when I was turning 22 and I became a caregiver. I knew nothing about it. There's no guides on this. There's no way, perfect way to do it. It's like you learn on the job. And so I wish someone had shared some of these lessons with me. And so, yeah, share it with someone that you think would benefit from it. I'll say a massive thank you to every single one of you for listening to this episode. Stay tuned, because every single next Tuesday, basically we post twice a week on our podcast. We're going to have some incredible guests on the show that I know you will enjoy. And I will see you all on Tuesday, and have an amazing day, everyone. Bye. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to rate the podcast, as it helps us grow and spread our message. And if you know this will help and resonate with someone, be sure to send it their way so that they can have the opportunity to level up their life as well.